This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Beat me up on the mama's of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming your way this hour here on the show. What a fun Friday we have for you. We've got your best audio of the day in sound check in 20, in 40. I rank my top five conference championship games tomorrow in college football, starting actually tonight with the Pac-12. As part of sound check, wait till you hear Brian Kelly. I can't wait to play this audio. Brian Kelly heads down to LSU, hops on the microphone at LSU basketball game, and proceeds to fake a Southern accent. Oh, it's just perfect. Just perfect. It's coming your way in 20 minutes. Let's start by talking about Antonio Brown. By the way, today is a target demo Friday, which means the Kraken has been released. The Wizard of Watch DA has released the meme. And today's meme, the one and only Jody Mack as a mascot at a European basketball game, firing off that cigarette cannon. We were talking about this earlier in the week because Nikola Jokic was like booing by Heat fans. I played in Serbia. You think that bothers me? And we were talking about how across seas, basketball is a little different. The crowd's a little different, including when Rick Pitino was complaining when he was coaching in Greece that most of the fans were smoking in the arena and his players were choking from all of the smoke. We said Jody Mack would make the perfect mascot for this league. And so Cap has whipped up a meme where Jody Mack is smoking a cig while firing off a cigarette cannon into the stands. And it's awesome. It actually makes Jody look healthy and vibrant and like a thrilling young man. So that's on Twitter, DA on CBS. That'll be on Facebook as well, facebook.com/TheDAShow. I could still call it Facebook, right? Do I have to call it Meta now?
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
Don't be Meta. Whatever. Whatever you call Facebook, we're on that. Go to our page and let us know where you are, how you're listening, and how many packs of camels you can catch out of that gun. So So let's talk Antonio Brown here, folks. Folks, it's Antonio Brown. So Antonio Brown gets a fifth lease on life, right? This is a guy that wears out his welcome in Pittsburgh, clearly. Goes to the Raiders. First of all, he's on a winner in Pittsburgh. Can't stand it. Not enough targets. Not enough money. Doesn't like the situation. He's got an offense that's throwing him the football 120 times a year. He's catching 1,500 yards worth of passes. 10 touchdowns a year. I'm not happy. They're in the playoffs every single season. Him, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Killer Bees, not happy. So he leaves. Goes to the Raiders. Proceeds to become the biggest clown in football. I mean, at war immediately with the front office, who just paid him a ton of cash, freezes off his feet in that cryogenic chamber, can't play, Hard Knocks, total clown show, Bozo Brigade times a million. So now, complete punchline. And in the middle of this is at odds with the NFL because he's being accused by multiple people of violent outbursts, including throwing deck furniture off of his elevated patio down at the apartment complex into an area where children are. Nice. He's at odds with delivery drivers, with personal servants, with people in his apartment complex, with the league, with the Raiders. I mean, he's just, again, at odds with everybody, complete idiocy. Okay, then he gets saved by the Patriots. Patriots pick him up. Tom Brady wants him to be his guy. Brady gives him this structure, this love, this space that he's looking for, that he's desperately seeking. The Patriots actually say, yes, we want him. That immediately blows up because the league's like, yeah, you're not allowed to play because, again, you're too much of a bonehead. He then, it looks like maybe he's out of football. He's getting older. We think he's lost a step. He's at odds with the league. He's got legal stuff going on. He's got no shot here. And the safety net, the warm bosom of Tom Brady is there to welcome him one final time. Bucks don't need him. They got Godwin. They got Evans. They got Gronk. They got Brady. They don't need him. Brady says, go get him. Bruce Arians said before, don't want him. Brady says, we need him. So Arians has to change his tune. They bring him in. Brady basically saves his career, demanding that he become part of the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers do end up creating structure for him, expectations for him, chances for him, and AB is actually vital in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, is a Super Bowl champion, and now life is good. You finally got life to be real good again. Seems like you're out of the weeds in your legal problems. You've got a Super Bowl championship that may have stamped your way into Canton, a Hall of Fame career. You've been saved. All of your awful, disastrous decision-making has now been eradicated because somebody believed in you. Because one person basically believed in you and said, hey, I think you got something. You can help us. We believe in you. Just do what I say. And Antonio Brown does it. He's out of trouble. And he wins a ring. And now he's on a winning franchise. They appreciate him. He's got an offseason to celebrate. He's got an offseason to be awash in the success. To really feel like, man, look where I was and look where I am now. And Antonio Brown's not 22, 25, 27 years old anymore. Now he's in his 30s, and so there's got to be some wisdom there when you've hit rock bottom and you see that you could be out of the league and you're fighting with everybody and you've got bills to pay and legal bills to pay. It must be great to have turned it all around. And Antonio Brown decides, you know what? I'm not going to get vaccinated. Okay, It's not a popular stance within the NFL, but there's others doing it. You're certainly not the only one. There is ramifications to that, but you're allowed not to be vaccinated. Carson Wentz, not vaccinated. Aaron Rodgers, not vaccinated. Cole Beasley, not vaccinated. Okay. 80% of the league is. You don't have to be. But instead of owning it, Antonio Brown's decision-making is, let me lie. In fact, let me pay somebody to fabricate a vaccination card. Now, think about that decision-making. You have been in a blender of poor decision-making and then finally been given a life raft. You basically blew your career. And this team and this quarterback and this coach and these teammates and this organization gave you a life raft and a gold jacket in a Canton probably. And you decide, you know what? I'm going to scam them. It's extraordinary. It's beyond belief. If anything, you would think Antonio Brown would say, man, these guys did me right. They saved my ass. Tom has brought me under his wing. They want me vaccinated. I got to do this. Or if you're really convinced, hey, this is not the right thing for me, and you go to Tom Brady, my guess is Tom Brady's going to listen to your argument and maybe support you as well. He supported you through everything else. And instead you go, nah, I'm going to fake this vax card. I'm going to pay somebody to fake a vax card. Okay, that's the first part that's just like unbelievably stupid. This is the organization that saved you, and you are going to lie directly to them and put them in harm's way. Now, we can add to this list that you're also, because you're unvaccinated and they don't know the protocols that go along with being unvaccinated, you're just blowing through those stop signs. And so you're putting your teammates at risk of testing positive and being out for games. Forget the health ramifications. I'm just talking about football here. You have now put your teammates at risk of your idiocy for testing positive by lying. And then the coup de grace. Antonio Brown doing something that only Antonio Brown could possibly think of. Not only will I lie and I will purchase a fake vax card, I will ask my friends on the team if they need a fake vax card. He pushed them to other guys on the team, lesser guys on the team. He got backup safety Mike Edwards one. He got 19th wide receiver on the taxi squad, John Franklin won. And it ends up, they all go down. They are suspended 3 games. Now, again, just imagine this decision-making where you finally have a good situation, and even that, you can't help yourself but to blow it. AB is one of the most self-destructive players that has ever played in this game. He is completely self-destructive. Because there was a way out that you could have kept playing and not been vaccinated. There was a way. But instead, hiding, lying, fabricating, and helping your teammates do the same thing. Now, let's also go to Edwards and Franklin. Could you imagine following Antonio Brown's idea? Could you imagine Antonio Brown comes up with an idea and you go, yeah, I'll follow along. Get me one too. His decision-making is now your decision-making. And think about how much more is on the line for them. Antonio Brown could be cut by the Buccaneers. That could be the end. Brady could be finally too PO'd and say, I can't believe you did us like this. Arians, the GM, Jason Light, etc. But Antonio Brown has value to the team. Who are Mike Edwards and John Franklin to be faking this? Imagine putting your career on the line. Those guys don't have to have jobs. Those guys don't have to have places in the NFL. Those guys don't get like 13 chances like Antonio Brown. Those guys don't have Tom Brady vouching for them. Could you imagine doing this with how delicate your career is? I mean, holy crap. This is just beyond stupid decision making. Now let's go into the suspension. 3 games apiece. It's significant. People want it to be more. I could see that. I could see it. Look, I think 3 games is significant. I don't think it's nothing. But the rest of the season, you want to suspend him? Fine. Those that have said Antonio Brown's run afoul with the league so many other times, this should be his last strike in the NFL. Maybe. I mean, I certainly wouldn't yell and scream about if that was the case, but we know the NFL is not going to do that to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Brady would throw a fit. They don't want that. For those that have compared this to Aaron Rodgers and asked, well, why does Rodgers get off with a $14,000 fine and Antonio Brown and these two jamokes get 3 games? Look, there's an easy solution. You might not like it, but it's an easy solution. Aaron Rodgers lied to the media and the public. Antonio Brown lied to the NFL. That's why. The NFL got hosed. Aaron Rodgers, he didn't lie to the NFL. Rodgers misled the public. Didn't lie to the NFL. NFL knew he was unvaccinated. The thing is, the NFL knowing Rodgers was unvaxxed and allowing him to skirt the normal protocols like masks in media situations, allowing him to keep up the camouflage of being vaccinated, they were kind of in on it. And so they couldn't hammer him. Antonio Brown fraudulently gave them a fake vax card, hosed the NFL, and that's why they can hammer him. So that's the big difference. Again, you might look at it as favorable treatment for a superstar like Aaron Rodgers, a golden boy versus the bad boy Antonio Brown. Look, the NFL went along with the Aaron Rodgers ruse. But in this case, they feel burned by Antonio Brown and company. That's the difference. I just can't believe Antonio Brown, after all of this, would then potentially light fire to his final great situation. You just won a Super Bowl. And now you're fabricating government documents, which, by the way, is a felony in some places. Could you imagine forfeiting government documents? Could you just imagine? Just, it's unreal. But Antonio Brown is just kind of a living, walking disaster. He always has been. And no matter what, he just lives in this bizarre universe of Antonio Brown decision-making that thankfully hasn't led him to jail. Because you just, how many times could you do idiotic things? How many times? When we come back on the show, your sound check, your best audio of the day. Oh my God. Brian Kelly. Inject fake Southern accent right into my veins. We're playing this next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
CBS presents this program in color. An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Have us on around the house as you get ready for your day. Just remember, we're also on Sunday morning football as well. So 6 mornings of the week. You can tell your smart speaker to have us on around the house by saying play CBS Sports Radio. Mrazhead is up the gut picks last hour. That's sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. Pick up some today. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com. Soundcheck features Zach Taylor, Bengals head coach, as he was asked whether he would leave for the Oklahoma job.
No, absolutely not. We put in too much work here. I've got too much respect for an organization that took a chance on a young guy that not many people would, and had the patience to stick through 2 difficult years with this vision in place of nothing that's been completed yet. Absolutely, there's 0% chance that you would ever consider something like that.
Look, I can't think of it offhand, and you can help me out here as the listeners, of an NFL coach that had a stable situation. In other words, wasn't worried about getting fired and left for college. I mean, that's, I think, why Mike Tomlin was so PO'd. Like, why would you think I would take the USC job? I'm at a superior place. Especially the Steelers. Like, he's out of the Jaguars. If you have a stable situation, now, guys that think they're going to get fired can flee the NFL to jump back into the safety net of college, but that's just leaving a job before you get fired for a job that you think, you know, they're looking to hire. Zach Taylor's not about to get fired. Mike Tomlin's not about to get fired. Those guys don't look for chances to jump to college. And Oklahoma is definitely one of the 10 best jobs in American college football. It's not an NFL job. It's not. It's completely different. And no offense, but it's a lesser job than even the Bengals. Now, you might point out, well, how about Nick Saban? He went to Alabama after being with the Dolphins. Yeah, he saw the writing on the wall, though. He had a year there in Miami. He saw that his message wasn't quite the message that pros were looking for. He got into year number 2. The winning wasn't happening. The fans and media started grumbling. The players started grumbling. And he said, I'm not an NFL guy. And the Bama job is open. He was probably close to getting fired. Maybe he got the end of that season and the next one. But he could see the writing on the wall. Zach Taylor's not about to get canned. So it's kind of idiotic to think that. Now, the difference is today that college football coaches do make a ton of cash. I mean, you're making $9 to $10 million a year in the college game at these elite institutions. But still, it's not a better job. Freddie Kitchens is now the Giants offensive coordinator after they gave Jason Garrett the zig. And Freddie Kitchens, known for his intellect, wants to give the media a spelling lesson.
Facetious, by the way, one of 2 words in English language that have all the vowels in it. And they're in order. Right? So can you spell facetious?
I can.
All right, spell it.
F-A-C-E-T-I-O-U-S.
Yes. A-E-I-O-U. Right? In order. What's the other word?
I don't know. Who's asking you, though?
Nobody knows? Anybody know around here?
No.
Abstemious. Right. What's y'all's homework assignment? All right. Tell me what abstemious means.
All right.
See you guys.
All right. That audio is really low, so you probably didn't hear that, but he was pointing out 2 words to the media that had all 5 vowels in them. I don't even know the second word, but the first word was facetious, and then he had the assembled media try to spell those. Okay. Ha ha ha. There's got to be better audio of that. I have to think, but either way. Let's get to Brian Kelly, who is on the floor last night at an LSU basketball game, introduced to the new head coach of the football team, and listen to Brian Kelly, who has suddenly developed a Southern accent.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
What a salesman. What a snake oil salesman. I'm going to tell you this right now. You don't think Southerners can spot the carpetbagger when he comes into town and says, family? They might be cheering now. He hasn't lost to Florida yet.
I'm here with my family.
They might be cheering today. He hasn't gotten waxed by Nick Saban by 21 points. This is destined to fail. It is destined to fail. I'm telling you this right now. First of all, yesterday we talked about Joshua. We talked to Joshua Perry, who's a former Ohio State player, now Big Ten Network analyst, and he noted that none of Brian Kelly's staff is following Brian Kelly to LSU, that they are choosing to stay for an unproven defensive coordinator, now turned first-time head coach in Marcus Freeman. They're preferring not to go to LSU, but instead to stay at Notre Dame. And now, that night, Brian Kelly begins by saying, I haven't even won all my games yet. A little braggadocious, I would say, going to the SEC West. But number two, so he says family. Family. You know where Brian Kelly's from? Boston!
I'm here with my family.
Do you know how they say family in Boston? Not like that! This guy was born in Everett, Massachusetts. Grew up in Chelsea, Massachusetts. Went to high school in Danvers, Massachusetts. His dad was a Boston politician. Brian Kelly is an Irish Catholic guy from Boston. Brian Kelly suddenly, 48 hours in Louisiana, addresses the crowd by saying, my family.
Family.
My family.
Family.
Man, it's just great to be down here right alongside the rest of my family.
Family.
I haven't even won all my games yet.
Portland.
What a charade. What a fraud. What an unbelievable fraud. What an unbelievable fraud. I'm telling you, these college coaches are incredible. Find me the first guy that's got integrity. The first guy. Brian Kelly sits on that sideline and volcanically erupts at his players. Red-faced, beady eyes, spewing lava. Just temper out of control. Bullies people, pushes people around, this, that, and the other thing. Demand this, demand that. Irish Catholic kid from Boston, 2 days in Louisiana, addresses a crowd and suddenly goes, my family! This is a guy that made Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh shovel snow from cars out in the parking lot instead of coming in to the party with the rest of the staff because they were grad assistants. This guy's unbelievable. This guy, they're going to see through his ass so quickly. Right now, they're cheering. He hasn't coached a game yet. Right now, they wanted a savior. Brian Kelly gets to be that savior. But man, you're already playing this. I'm part of the community just like you guys are. Yeah! Where's the gumbo? You fraud. You absolute fraud. You know what I didn't do when I went to Boston and had to do a sports talk radio show as a New Yorker? I didn't fake a Boston accent. I didn't get on the airwaves and suddenly talk about my love of the Red Sox. No. It's one thing to understand your audience. It's another thing to act like you're of the audience. What a charade. What a That's unbelievable. Play this whole thing for me again, because listen to this. It's not like that's the only word, by the way, that he actually has now a Southern accent on. He's a Boston kid. Listen to him address the LSU crowd in full last night.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
That's unbelievable. He coached at Central Michigan, at Cincinnati, at Notre Dame, grew up in Boston, never had an accent. He's been an LSU coach for 48 hours. Suddenly, he's got one.
Oh, Portland.
They're going to see through his ass the first time he loses to Texas A&M. The first time. 8-4 suddenly. Well, what happened to winning all your games, coach? Oh, man, this is destined to fail.
Games yet.
This is destined to fail. That's it. That's all I needed to see. You can't even have the integrity to get on a microphone and talk like you normally talk to your... Of course, you're going to get an ovation no matter what. Now you suddenly feel the need to be water boy? Suddenly, you got to be Bobby Boucher? Like, you got the job without having to be Bobby Boucher. I mean, what? What is that?
More importantly,
my family. Mama said.
Family.
Mama says. I love po' boys and gumbo. You guys eat that, right?
More importantly.
I studied the menu at the diner before I got here.
Family.
What do you call it? Roux? I like that. Andouille sausage? Yeah, I eat that too. Is that how you say that?
Family.
Oh, God. Oh, that's insufferable. Like, you don't even have the respect for that audience that you don't need to put on and act. Like, you don't have the respect of that, the respect for those fans, that audience, that they have a dialect different from yours and that you think you've got to, like, trick them by putting on an act, that that's the only way that they would like you. I'll guarantee that we win all of our games and I'll say family. Wow. They are going to scorch his ass the first time that he starts losing. They're going to see right through that. Oh, that's terrible. Okay, that's sound check. Well, I know. Right now. One of our family's sick at home sniffling. That's Mraz. He's got no voice.
And I haven't even won all my games yet.
Another member of the family.
More importantly.
Fill it in. We're righter than you this morning. Name's Andrew Bogish.
My family.
And that means another member of our family. Brad Heller, the dessert coordinator, is filling in for Andrew Bogish on Headlines today.
My family.
But don't you worry, all you affiliates south of the Mason-Dixon line. I may be a native New Yorker, but I know how you talk.
More importantly,
you can trust me. I may have been born in New York, but don't you worry. I once had a layover in Memphis. I get you.
Thank you.
I mean, Mraz, what? Oh. Why? How insulting is that?
Well, also, did he think, with all eyes and microphones on him, that nobody would pick up on that either? It's one thing to insult the fans and just think the fans won't know. Did he think that none of the media would hear that and go, we just heard all your press conferences with Notre Dame for the last 11 years. You never once sounded like that. How could that not go through his mind?
I have no idea. I have no, unless he's just caught up in right now being the hero.
Ugh. Right. And I'll tell you know how else you could tell he's selfish? In doing that accent by saying, I haven't even won all of my games yet.
Right.
It's their program. Right. You're coaching their team, all those bloodlines. Now it's your personal game
yet? Oof. This is I'm sorry, LSU fans. I know you want this to work, but that's a bad opening. That's a bad first inning. That's putting up a crooked number against you. Standing by, part of the family, Brad Heller. Brad Heller's got headlines. What you got there, Heller?
Did he practice that accent? Do you think he, like, you know, under his breath was like, okay, I'm gonna drop a y'all. I'm going to do, you know, does he work on that before he walks out there? I don't know, because for just to come out that way.
He talked to the AD. He talked to a bunch of people in the administration, talked to a few boosters who are going to be paying his salary, picked up on it, was like, oh, this is how they talked. Okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to rile up this crowd. Just insulting.
Thank you.
Just insulting.
It's not good.
Okay, what do we got?
Good. All right, we're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. If your pet's hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit Progressive.com. Week 13 kicked off in New Orleans last night. Taysom Hill's first start of the season turned into disaster in the fourth quarter.
Second and 10, flag down, ball deflected, intercepted. It's picked off by Carlos Watkins. Big man rumbling all the way down the sideline for the touchdown.
That was Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. Hill was picked off on three straight possessions, four for the game. Cowboys beat the Saints 27-17. Hill played through a finger injury, did throw two touchdown passes, ran for over 100 yards, but also those four picks. Here's Sean Payton.
Man, I thought he played with a lot of heart, a lot of guts. You know, we didn't help many in the first half. You know, I'll be honest with you, we got to catch that first interception. We got to. It's the perfect coverage look we get. We drop a ball, they make a good play on it. That's unfortunate.
The Saints have lost five in a row for the first time since 2005, the year before Peyton took over. They're 5-7. The Cowboys are 8-4. Dan Quinn filled in as interim coach with Mike McCarthy, and five assistants out because of COVID. Antonio Brown hit with a three-game suspension for using a fake vaccine card during training camp. He has since been vaccinated. Brown wasn't expected to play in the next two games anyway, though, because of a foot and heel injury. He's been out since mid-October. To say last night's Grizzlies-Thunder game got out of hand is the understatement of the century.
Melton on the attack. Into the lane, gets left side of the window, lays it up and in. For the first time in franchise history, the Grizzlies lead a game by 50. 101. 51.
That's Eric Hasseltine on Grizzlies radio. That lead kept growing and growing and growing all the way to 78. The final margin was 73. Grizzlies beat the Thunder 152-79. Biggest win or biggest loss in NBA history, beating the previous record 68. Cavs beat the Heat by 68 in 1991. The Suns set a franchise record, 18 straight wins. They topped the Pistons 114-103. The Bucks' eight-game winning streak ended with a 97-93 loss to the Raptors. Giannis sat this one out with a sore calf. DeMar DeRozan poured in 34. Bulls beat the Knicks at Madison Square Garden 119-115. LeBron James ended up with a false COVID positive, so he's out of the protocols, cleared to play for the Lakers tonight against the Clippers. Notre Dame's expected to make it official. Defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman's going to replace Brian Kelly as head coach. The announcement coming at some point this morning, we're told. Freeman's only 35. This was his first year as the defensive coordinator. There is going to be an opening at Virginia. Bronco Mendenhall stepping down after the Cavaliers bowl game. They're 6-6 this season. In six seasons, Mendenhall with a record of 36-38. The season's been a mess for the New York Islanders. They started with 13 straight on the road, finally opened up a brand-new arena. They're 0-5 in the new arena, a COVID pause in between, nine straight losses overall. Loss to the Sharks last night in overtime, 2-1, as Erik Karlsson scored the game winner. Stars beat the Blue Jackets 3-2. Dallas has won six in a row. Minnesota's won five straight. The Wild topped the Devils by the final 5-2. D.A.
Thank you, Brad. Wait a second. The Islanders are getting a new arena? Hadn't heard that. When we come back here on the show, my tasty top five. I rank the college football championship game this weekend. And one of the power conferences didn't even make the top five. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top five.
I'm tasty.
Number five.
Each and every Friday throughout the college football season, I give you my five favorite games of the weekend. And since this is the final full weekend of college football until the bowls, this will be the final installment of the Tasty Top 5. So enjoy it. Enjoy the best beat in sports radio. It's time to get taste. Number five, the ACC title game. Pitt against Wake Forest tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern time at ABC. Wake Forest is a three-point underdog in this game, primarily because Pitt's quarterback, Kenny Pickett, could be the top quarterback drafted in April. This is why you watch this game. Wake has a fun offense. Pitt's got a fun offense. Should be points put up. It's certainly not going to turn heads in normal households. This will get a truly low number, I would imagine, and very few fans in attendance at the ACC championship game. It's just amazing to think that the ACC was always counting on Florida State, Miami, Clemson, and Virginia Tech in the championship game. And instead, they got Pitt and Wake this year. But Kenny Pickett, Pitt quarterback, excellent. He came back. He's a stud. He's a leader. People love him. Scouts like him. He could be the number one pick. His draft stock has risen steadily throughout the season. So I'm going to watch it for that. The ACC title game tomorrow night for Pitt quarterback Kenny Pickett.
Number four.
Big Ten championship game. Michigan against Iowa tomorrow night as well. 8 p.m. Eastern kick on Fox. Michigan a huge favorite. 11-point favorite. I don't see a way Michigan loses except that Harbaugh, unfortunately, has that knack for losing in the spot where Michigan fans were hoping to break through. And it would be very Wolverines-y under Harbaugh to finally get through Ohio State and then lose it when you're on the big stage and be out of the college football playoff. But I don't see it happening. Michigan's pass rush is dominant. Michigan can run the football so effectively. They just killed Ohio State in the trenches on Saturday. I think much of the same thing will happen. I think Michigan wins this game relatively easily. The Wizard is not going to pick this game because 11 is just a little bit too much for me. I honestly could see the Wolverines leading by 17 points and then a late touchdown by Iowa, and then you don't cover the 11. But I think Michigan wins this game by multiple scores, and so that's my number four.
Number three.
Big 12 championship game, Baylor and Oklahoma State. That's tomorrow at noon Eastern on ABC. This one is Pokes by 5.5. Obviously, Oklahoma State has a shot at this college football playoff, and I do believe, I do declare, just like Brian Kelly would say, that if Georgia holds serve and wins, Cincinnati holds serve and wins, Michigan holds serve and wins, and Oklahoma State holds serve and wins, I think those are your four. So the Cowboys have this beautiful opportunity to get to the college football playoff by simply winning this football game. Won't be easy. Baylor's really good, really balanced, but Oklahoma State's even more balanced. And Okie State has a really good defense alongside Baylor's defense. If you thought you were going to see a ton of fireworks in the Big 12 championship game, not going to happen this year. Both these teams have the two best defenses arguably in the conference, and wouldn't you know it, suddenly a couple of teams have good defenses, and they're the ones that go to a Big 12 championship game. So this one should be interesting tomorrow at noon on ABC, but I do think the Cowboys win that game and have that four slot in the college football playoff, although do not sleep on the bear.
Number two.
The American, Houston and Cincinnati. 4 p.m. Eastern kick on ABC tomorrow. Cincinnati's a 10.5-point favorite of this game. Look, Houston's really good. Houston is arguably, I think they are, I think they're the second-best team since he will have played all season long behind only Notre Dame. So this is no pushover, but the American championship game is played at a home site, in this case, Cincinnati. So you've got the home field advantage. Obviously, the Bearcats know what's on the line, and they played good football the last 2 weeks. They dominated SMU. They dominated East Carolina. Both of those teams were two of the best teams in the American. I think they're going to win this football game. It might not be a blowout, but that's okay. I don't think they need a blowout, nor should we expect a blowout because the Cougars are good. But this one's interesting. This one's at 4 p.m. Eastern time on ABC with a win. Cincy, I think, is in.
Number one.
The SEC championship game, it has to be, because everything is on the line for Georgia. I mean, sure, they could lose this game and still get into the playoff, but this is it. This is their undefeated season. This is where They've got to break through and finally beat Bama. They're nearly a touchdown favorite of this game. 4 p.m. Eastern time on CBS tomorrow. But Bama's Bama. Bama's been great as a underdog throughout the years under Nick Saban. Bama has beaten Georgia in two crucial spots, the college football playoff national championship game and the SEC title game. So it's a vulnerable Alabama team, but it's always a dangerous Alabama team. And if Bama wins, they keep their hopes alive for potentially sliding in the back door of the playoff. That's got to be your number one.
I'm tasty.
CBS Sports Radio. Tomorrow on CBS, it's a matchup of epic proportions. The SEC championship, possible top spot of the college football playoff. Georgia, like we said, take it on Alabama. They'll set the scene beginning at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, with a drive to Atlanta presented by Mercedes-Benz, followed by State Farm College Football Today. The SEC Championship tomorrow on CBS.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
When we come back, last night, the Cowboys beat the Saints, and for once, I'd like to hear Sean Payton actually say something slightly critical about Taysom Hill. We'll talk about it next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.